In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and his train filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
The calling of the first disciples, chapter 5, from reading from Luke. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. There he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's past partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me again. You must be suckers for punishment. No, I really enjoy coming here, and I hope it's going to be a good time for you today as well. Yeah, thanks for the readings. It's always wonderful to pick up the Bible and read these stories, isn't it? I'll be mainly looking at the Luke's gospel reading this morning, but Isaiah, he's a strange old man, isn't he? But yes, Isaiah's call from God, it resulted in two responses, really, didn't it? One was utter devastation from hearing God talk to him. "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." A reasonable response, really. But Isaiah goes on to say, "Here I am, send me." So Simon Peter, also in Luke's passage, as a counterpoise to this, also had a similar response to hearing the words of Jesus in the story that has just been read to us. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." That's a strange thing to say, isn't it? And we read from the story that Simon, along with Andrew and James and probably John and all the others, who left their fishing and immediately followed Jesus. So hearing God, I think sometimes we all have a sense of our inadequacy in that, don't we? What? To hear God? A sense of awe that God should speak to us, knowing that we are not holy in God's sight. And why would he want to use me, us, anyway? But we know the bigger story, don't we? Or we should do. It is through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that act gives us a righteousness that we do not deserve. If we allow Jesus to reign in our lives, and this in turn gives us the ability, I believe, to hear from God. We are his people, and God the Father will speak to us. But the amazing thing is that the Father also gives us the authority to speak the word of God to others. And I pray that as I speak this morning, that the words of the Father will come out. The combined call for these two stories are, "Here I am, send me, and I now am a fisher of men and women." Anyway, let's talk about fishing this morning. I did bring a rod just to help you. There you go, look at that. Can you see that? The zoom? Oops. It's a bit long, isn't it, really? I don't know. Hands up who used to go fishing? Oh, two of you. Oh, well, that's excellent. How about on Zoom? Anybody? No, no, it's an amazing pastime. Let me just hang that on there. It's lovely to just sit on the bank and forget about everything else and just watch that float bob up and down. And it's the anticipation, isn't it, of maybe catching the biggest fish you've ever seen. And when the float bobs below the water, it suddenly disappears and you strike with the old rod and it's a tiny little fish about this big. But still the anticipation is there, isn't it? It's the expectation of something really, really big. Yes, I always remember my first experience going to, I think it was Hollow Ponds in Leighton, in London. I cast out, I was only about nine, and the float went down. Of course, at the end of these things, you're supposed to have a reel, but I just ran backwards. And I caught my first fish in a very strange way, and it was a very small perch. But yeah, fishing, very strange. But in this story in Luke, of course, we have professional fishermen, men who fish for a living. You can imagine what they look like, you know, sort of big old gnarly men, like sea dogs, you know, maybe with huge hands and smelling of fish. A good living, no doubt. But as in all types of fishing, it's a bit hit and miss, isn't it? Even for the professionals. And in this story, just as a matter of help, really, that I gave you some maps about. Let me just see if I can grab hold of one. Just to give you an idea where we are geographically, because I think sometimes we read these names and we don't know where we are. And this one, don't know whether you can see it, upside down. Okay, that's the north side or northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, and that red blob is Capernaum. And this little map here shows a little bit of detail about the stories relating to the Sea of Galilee. So if you want a copy of these, I'm sure we can send you some on Zoom, but I'm sure if you'd like to just have a quick look at those, so it just helps, I think, to bed down the story. So the story so far is that Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue. If you go back a chapter or so, and the synagogue was a central meeting place. And his message was so different that they were amazed at his teaching because it had authority. You know, he even drove out an evil spirit out of a man in the synagogue. It seems such an easy thing for Jesus to do. And of course, this sort of stuff got people's attention, didn't it? They were all amazed. They even asked, what is this teaching? And by what authority and power does he command demons to come out of people? And his authority is important here. No one had seen such things happening before. And of course, Jesus' popularity spread throughout the region. It would, wouldn't it? Just think about it. He was a man on a mission. So Simon, some may call him Peter, Simon, of course, knew Jesus. They lived in the same town, and he had a fishing business in the town. Jesus had, in fact, been in his house earlier. So, and Jesus had healed his mother-in-law, which is always a good thing to do, isn't it? And you can read this story just in chapter 4. So Simon had already seen the miraculous from Jesus firsthand. He had started to see his authority manifesting itself in miracles of healing. So let's set the scene a little bit more in chapter 5. The fishermen, they were out on their night job as usual, and they'd come back in the morning. And we know from the story that they hadn't caught any fish. Now that's a real downer for fishermen and a loss of income for the day. But of course, fishermen, they don't give up. They always go back, don't they? So they were washing their nets, getting them ready for the next fishing trip. Now on this day, however, a large crowd of people were on the shore listening to the word of God from Jesus, and they were surrounding him on the beach. Now you can perhaps picture the story about, picture the scene about, I don't know, 50, 100, maybe more people crowding onto this beach and Jesus backing away, maybe getting his feet wet. You know, they were really pushing in. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And of course, this is really quite an interesting thing. If you look at that map again, where Capernaum is, if you look at the coast where that black mass is, that's the sea here. This is from Google, by the way, so thank you, Google. There are some sort of like little alcoves that look like just little sort of, I don't know, what you call them, tributaries? No, not even that really, but they're like natural amphitheaters. So I think perhaps Jesus then decided that he would get on this boat, push it out a little bit further so that all the people could hear him and see him. And he's quite resourceful, isn't he, Jesus, when those sorts of things happen. So yes, Jesus started to disrupt Simon's day, didn't he? Here he was mending and cleaning his nets, and then Jesus wants to use his boat. But without hesitation, it seems, Simon takes the boat out. It would have been good to have Jesus in your boat, wouldn't it? Just thinking about it. Simon may have even been proud to serve Jesus in that way. You know, he would have had the best seat to listen to him. And he perhaps could have had made himself a cup of coffee as well. So it does have some advantages. But through this little talk, I'm just going to ask some questions. Now, I may not be able to answer these, but please think about them and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Do we allow Jesus to disrupt our day? Good question. So Jesus seems to have finished speaking. I'm not sure how long he went on for, perhaps longer than me, maybe. But he had finished speaking, and so we're now getting on to the fishing bit. Perhaps Jesus wanted to be kind to Simon and give him something back for using his boat. So Jesus says, let's go a bit deeper, Simon, to the deeper water and let down your nets. Let's go further out from here. A call to move, to go deeper, to change position and perspective. Simon, of course, could have said, hang on a minute, we're the professionals. Go swing your hook. Or, it's daytime and you can't fish in the day. Or you could have said, we've already washed our nets. I don't want to have to do all that again. Or he could have said, I'm really tired. I've been up all night. But Simon recognized Jesus as master or commander or even maybe the boss. Here we have Simon, who was willing to take orders from Jesus, even though he was no fisherman. Jesus' authority comes through again. Question. Do we obey when Jesus asks us to do something, or do we prevaricate? It's a good word, isn't it? So, the story. Is it the end of the fishing story? No, it isn't, because a miracle happens. More fish than they can cope with, even with the help of their partners and their boat. What is going on here, Simon must have thought. This is impossible. Question. What is our response when we see God at work? Simon's response was awful, even at this early stage in their relationship. Simon knew that this man was very, very special. He had already glimpsed something about this man that was so different to any other person that he had known. In fact, he wanted to worship this man. He proclaimed him as his Lord, not just as master or boss, but as Lord. He knew that he was a sinful man when he compared himself with Jesus. He saw that this man did miracles and confounded all that he knew about the world. He saw the divine at work, healings, exorcisms, supernatural miracles. Surely this man was someone to follow. Could he even be my savior and maybe the savior of Israel? Another question. I like these questions. Do we worship Jesus as Lord of our lives? Then the call from Jesus to Simon and the others. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Well, that's a strange thing to say. These were fishermen. They catch fish. They don't catch men. What does he mean? Anyway, Jesus wanted a special relationship with these people. And Jesus told Simon to put away the awful fear he had expressed. He wants us to be together as a family, learning and living together, to relate to us in love and not in fear. He wanted these gnarly old men, these smelly men, these normal working class men to be part of the story. Jesus' mission was to catch men and women. His first catch was the three or four of them in this story. Maybe others in the crowd listening had been caught by Jesus' words. But the staggering thing is that he wanted others to do the catching as well. Jesus went on from the three to the 12. And together with his disciples, the numbers went to 100, and then to 1,000, and then to millions, because others became fishers of men and women. In verse 11, it says, they pulled their boats from the water, they left everything and followed him. It seems the large number of fish didn't matter to them anymore. Now, that's not like fishermen, is it? Perhaps they sold them on, but it seems that the boats were overloaded with fish when they pulled it out of the water, and they just left it there, maybe. They just did what Jesus asked them to do, is to leave everything. They left their business, their income, their security, may even leaving their families for periods of time to follow Jesus, to be part of the story. So just to apply some of this to our lives, In our busyness, in our business, in our security, in our families, how can we make Jesus our priority? Now, I'm still working on this. Would I or could I leave everything to follow Jesus? What do we give up when we hear Jesus' invitation to follow him? Perhaps it's our reputation. Perhaps it's the time we give. Perhaps it's our resources and energy. Perhaps it's our money, our family, our sense of who we are. Do you know that Jesus will come to each one of us and disrupt our well-made plans? He will ask us to do something different, maybe even strange. But will we obey? Mission was Jesus' plan. So how does mission fit into your life today? Is it focused, just like fishing from a pond? Is it that thrill of the catch? And how should we react when we see Jesus create a miracle in front of our eyes? I believe God's call to us is different, but he does call each one of us. Now, Isaiah, he was a priest and he had an encounter with God. If he had not allowed it to happen, then the purposes of God would never have been fulfilled as they did in Isaiah's life and ministry. God would have used another to fulfill his purposes. And Simon Peter was a fisherman and he had an encounter with God. If he had not allowed it to happen, then the purposes of God would not have been fulfilled as they did in Peter's life and ministry. God would have used another to fulfill his purposes. God calls each one of us, you and me, and all who know and love Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, the vicar or the carpenter, the fisherman, or fill in the blank, the chef, the housekeeper, the designer, the postman, you name it, everyone is included. So we have to allow Jesus fully into our lives, don't we? So that he can turn all of our lives upside down. Or in fact, it perhaps should be the right way up. Are we too busy to give Jesus time in our lives? It's very dangerous. Do we rely on our security to get us through? Or do we follow Jesus when he says go? Are we afraid that he will make a mess of our well-made plans? Perhaps we need him to turn the tables over in our lives. I pray that we will give all of our time to Jesus. This is what he seems to be asking of his disciples. I pray that the things we hold dear in our lives will be held lightly, and that we would hang on to Jesus' life-giving words to each one of us. I pray that as we see Jesus move in our lives, and more importantly, in the lives of those around us, that we will rejoice to know that we have become fishers of men and women. This is our calling, and Jesus gives us his authority to do the work and to be part of the story. Amen.